Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by
Duchess. Hey, Duchess. How you doing? That's me. How's everything going out there? This is Duchess speaking, and it's time again for Inside Matters Talk. And guess what today signifies? No more countdown until spring. It is spring right now, today. Although winter is not giving up without a fight, because I saw snow yesterday and this morning. So what's up with that? Winter just wants to hang on and hang on. And that's what happens when you have these energies that just don't want to give up the rain. They just want to hang on in there until who knows what. Well, it's springtime, winter, and it's time for Inside Matters Talk. And this is Duchess, and we have a lot to talk about today. First, I want to wish everyone a happy Palm Sunday, and I want to say wonderful, wonderful things about my giving up eating after 8 o'clock at night for Lent. It's been going well, folks. I didn't think I was going to be able to do this, and I have a lot of people who just say they don't know how I'm doing it. Well, I don't know how I'm doing it either, except that I give myself the word, and I keep myself to my word, to myself. And that's how you got to go through life. When you give your own word to yourself, I mean, what better person to keep that word to except to you? Because if you can't keep your word to yourself, then who else you going to keep your word to? Who else can trust you if you can't trust you? So I'm doing great. I've been watching Facebook pictures also. My son, my youngest son, and his oldest daughter, they're the father and daughter, went to a father and daughter dance last night, and it seems they had a wonderful time. They both look great. They both look precious, especially that little girl who's growing up so nicely, and I'm so proud of the daddy that he is. So what are we talking about today? Let me see. All righty, we're going to look at Lena Stevens's final countdown for March, where her forecast was fire it up, power it up. And boy, has this month been firing up. Then we're going to talk about the old souls and how old souls handle things differently than regular folk, especially during this time of what we seem to be having as unending turmoil around the whole planet, and specifically here in our good old United States of America. And I want to go into President Barack Obama's nomination for Supreme Court Justice. What's his name? His name is Merrick Garland. Like Trevor Noah on The Daily Show said, he sounds like some kind of delicate seasoning that you would put on some delicate food that you're cooking. Merrick Garland. And the fact that people are saying he's a centrist. Now, many of us never heard of the term centrist until President Barack Obama nominated Merrick Garland, who is a centrist, to the Supreme Court. So we'll talk about what the heck is a centrist. And then we might dip into some of Rick Hansen's psychological words of wisdom on how are we to be strong during this time of chaos and mayhem going on around us, and how do we maintain our balance. So, for starters, let's go to Lena Stevens's Power Path. This is the final countdown for the month of March, And what we saw her forecast as being was fire it up. We're going to fire things up and we're going to power it up. We're coming down to the last countdown for March, and yesterday was spring equinox. And that would be the time when we honored spring coming in. Now, the 23rd, we're having a full moon, a full moon with a lunar eclipse. We've been having a lot of eclipses lately, okay? Right on the heels of the spring equinox, where we honor new beginnings and birth, comes the full moon with the second eclipse to inspire and energize us with, how about fullness and power. This is a good time to reflect on anything new that has come into your life. New relationships, new partnerships, good fortune, big choices, business, projects, health, healers, challenges of any kind, new environments, and ask what it is that they need at this time as energies of support. The full moon is always a time for gratitude and to see your life as full. If anything you are doing or experiencing feels less than full of what it needs, this is a good time to ask Spirit for help. Whether it is love, support, health, stamina, and energy, a little knowledge, direction, rest, inspiration, intimacy, excitement, trust, or peace, ask and you shall receive. We're living in a new energy time where that which we ask for, be very careful, because it will and does happen. We're in a grand time of manifesting. Our manifesting energies are very powerful at this time, and it's been increasingly so as we move into this new age of discovery, this new age of new energy that's going on the face of this earth. Now, for the weeks of March 24th to the 31st, we don't have 35 days in March. We have 31 days, from the 24th to the 31st. Nina says that the pieces fall into place during this time, and your life unfolds with its own momentum. Those aspects that have been fired up collect support and move forward with ease and synchronicity. This is a time frame where community is important and friendships, partnerships, and intimate relationships solidify in a new way. You should be feeling a sense of both contentment and excitement about parts of your life and where they are headed. You know, you're going in the right direction. Just stay constant. The parts of you that are not feeling that way still have work to do. Perhaps there are aspects of growth that have been fired up this month that have a ways to go before they are completed and integrated. Be patient with the process and focus instead on what does feel to be moving in right timing, synchronicity, and flow. It is never too late to ask Spirit for help, and we strongly suggest that you continue to call in your own inspiration and to work with your allies and the power you have all around you all the time. So, you know, as we close this month, hopefully you're having a great one, a wonderful one. The month is what we ourselves make it. We're firing it up, so we need to know how we want it to proceed as we do this firing up. And that's what Lena has to say. Now, as we fire things up, we need to look at some of what Rick Hansen is talking about when he talks about you need to feel strong. And we're not talking about that strong, muscle strong. We're talking about feeling a strength of mind. How about, okay, why would we want to be strong? We want to be strong to make our way in life. We want to be strong to enjoy the beautiful things it offers. We want to be strong to steer clear of hazards and protect ourselves and others. We want to be strong to find friendships and love. I mean, we need all of these things. We need strength. And he's not talking about what they call that chest thumping pushiness. You know, a lot of us mistake being strong with being pushy and demanding that people conform to our way. Okay? We're talking about determination and grit. Strength comes in many forms, including endurance, losing on the little things in order to win on the big ones. We're talking about restraint. For example, I love this example he gave. If you want to move a boat at the edge of a dock, don't run into it with a big smash. You'll just hurt yourself. And that's what a lot of us do when we're trying to be strong. You know, we try to be pushy. We're just hurting ourselves. Instead, what we want to do is try to stand on the edge of the dock, put our hands on the boat, and lean into it. Strength keeps leaning. Inner strength is not all or nothing. You can build it just like a muscle. Now, how do we do that? Well, mental strength draws on physical health, which is fueled how? Well, nutritionists say eating protein at every meal, taking vitamins and mineral supplements daily, exercising several days a week, setting aside 7 to 9 hours a day for sleep. And he goes on to say we can use intoxicants in moderation. And, of course, he also says, or not at all. And I prefer the not at all, because when walking around with a woozy head, tell you what, you can misstep in that strength department. And addressing and resolving chronic health problems, even seemingly mild ones. And when he says address the mild health problems, I mean, if you got a little allergy, you really want to address that, because it kind of makes you lose your sense of being, your sense of well-being, your sense of wanting to be bothered. If you are not doing some of these things, how about we might start today? I see the boards are lighting up, and that's a wonderful thing. It means we have a strong signal out there. So why don't we make a list of our strengths, such as intelligence, honesty, bearing pain, natural talents, recognizing good in others, or just surviving. We can be accurate, not unfairly self-critical. Recognizing your strengths will help you feel stronger. If it's appropriate, ask someone what he or she thinks some of your strengths are. I know that it's hard for me. I remember whenever I had to sit in an interview, and they would ask me, so, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Sometimes we just can't come off the top of our head and know what our strengths are. So if we ask others around us, what are our strengths? You know, it gives you a better sense of exactly how strong you are in areas that you never even dreamed that you could be. Think about some of the good things you use your strengths for, such as earning a living, raising a family, growing as a person, or making our world better. You can tell yourself, it is good for me to be strong. My strength helps good things happen. Good people want me to be strong. Anyone who wants me to be weak is not on my side. Notice any beliefs that it is bad to be strong. A month ago, I had an issue on my job where I firmly believe management does not like the fact that I am a strong person. And I'm still fighting this. Some of you know from two shows ago that I had to file a grievance on my job because I saw an injustice done and I spoke on it. So I came from a sense of being strong, not for myself, but for the person I saw being treated poorly. Now, how many of us do that? Or how many of us just stand by and let it go by because we feel like, well, it's really not my business, and if I step into this, then I'm going to have a problem myself. Well, I had to give it a lot of thought. And when I decided that I was going to make a stand on this, wow, I did not perceive the ramifications I would face once I did that. And it just let me know that I did the right thing, and because of my doing the right thing, being strong for someone else, they came back at me. But what happened was I had to show them that I was stronger for myself than I even was for the person that I stood up and was strong for. So at this moment, for those of you who are wondering what happened with me and my job and the union and all that other happy stuff, they still don't know what to do with me and what I did back to them. So we'll see. So when we notice any beliefs that it is bad to be strong, then that's when we need to step back and look at what's standing in front of us and then turn our attention back to the good reasons for being strong. Well, we can increase our sense of strength, recall times you felt strong. For me, many of these have involved standing up for others, as I pointed out, or physical activities like hiking in the wilderness. Now, I'm not a walker. I'm not a hiker. I don't like to do all of these things. But I'm going to tell you, once you strengthen yourself and you go on a walk, you know, I noticed one of the things that a lot of people don't realize, the doctors will tell you, if you walk 30 minutes a day, you will strengthen many aspects of your physiology. You know, a lot of people out there that have this type 2 diabetes thing going on with them, and they don't realize that if they go up and down their stairs, maybe 7 steps up and down, maybe 5 times, or walk around the block once every day, they'll bring that type 2 stuff down. So you got to be strong to be strong. So what did your body feel like when you start doing those things? What does your body feel like? Your body aches, it pains, it screams at you, but you continue and then it gives up. It gives up and it tends to move around to your point of view and your way of thinking because we talked about the innate, and the innate has its own mind. Explore embodying strength right now. Maybe lifting your chin. Come on. Sit up. Widen your stance. Or breathing deeply. Take in these physical sensations and attitudes of strength so you can tap into them again. Notice how good it feels to be strong. And I'm noticing how good it feels for me to be strong. I'm sure y'all can kind of tell. I was down and out for the last 3 days, but I'm slowly building up my own strength, and I'm slowly beginning to feel the pleasure of my own body healing. You know, what you need to do is enjoy the confidence that strength brings, the sense of possibility. Appreciate how your strength empowers your caring, protectiveness, and love. Tell yourself that you are strong, that you can endure, persist, cope, and prevail, that you are strong enough to hold your experience and awareness without being overwhelmed, that the winds of life can blow and blow hard, but you are a deeply rooted tree, and winds just make you even stronger. And when they are done blowing, there you still stand, offering shade and shelter, flowers and fruit, strong and lasting. Those are things to think about. Yeah. I wasn't feeling well for the last 3-4 days, and I'm beginning to kick back into some strength here. And I'm enjoying having this show today because it made me be able to get up and express my own strength, in a sense, because I wanted to spend this time with all of you. And I want to thank everyone for showing up today, this spring day, although it's a little cloudy here, a little cloudy because of the snow that's about ready to fall again for the spring season. But we're together. And I want to share this, I want to share some thoughts with you. We have a president of the United States of America who has really been faced with a congressional challenge over the last past 8 years, and now he's faced with another one. But I am so proud of him because, you know, they can do whatever they want to do, and it doesn't faze him one bit. At least he does not show that it fazes him. And that's a strength. That's a strength that I really admire. He perseveres. He goes forward. He does his job exactly the way it's intended and meant to do. And it doesn't matter what the odds stand against him. He just plods along and does his job. That's someone I can be proud of. Now, let's look at this Supreme Court justice nomination that President Barack Obama has made. You know, I don't usually get into politics on the show, and I'm really not doing this as a political thing. I'm doing this as an informational thought thing. Here it is. He does a nomination. He chooses Merrick Garland for Supreme Court justice nominee. And all over the newspaper articles, they say that this man is a centrist. And when they first said it, I just, you know, looked at the word and, you know, just glazed over and I went on about my business. And then it's really ironic that I started listening to an audio tape by Cryon. Now, many of you may not know who Cryon is, but Cryon is an angelic entity that's channeled. Don't know if you believe in channeling or not. I do, and some others out there do. But Lee Carroll channels Cryon, and Lee Carroll has been the original channeler for Cryon for the past 20-some-odd years. And you can go on Cryon.com, and you can listen to some of these audios. Some of you may be familiar with Esther Hicks, Abraham and Hicks. Well, Lee Carroll does Cryon. And I was listening a couple of days after I had read this article about this Supreme Court nomination, and Cryon was speaking through Lee Carroll, and he started talking about the state of the affairs here on Earth and how things are changing and certain aspects are falling apart. And then Cryon says, what we need is a centristic society. Now, that blew my mind because the channeling that I was listening to had come through and been done at a function dated February 27th through the 28th this year. Now, this is back in February. And here it is March, near the middle end of March, where we get this term centrist. Merrick Garland is a centrist. So now I had to find out, what the heck is a centrist? Now that Cryon is mentioned, and I said, oh, buddy, let me see what a centrist is. So I want to share that with some of you out there. The technical definition of a centrist or moderate is that you take a position in the political center. So what is the center? A centrist is an independent. If you are a centrist, you do not hold yourself to the party politics of the right or left. You know, you do not choose to take a side, a Democrat or a Republican. Being a centrist allows you to have your politics, how they say, a la carte, any way you want to. In short, you have the freedom of your own independent political thought. You support some liberal principles and some conservative principles while having the freedom to disagree with both. You want to find the right solution to a problem regardless of whose idea it is or whether it is from the right or the left or from anywhere else in the spectrum, you know? So to me, that means when we get into the Affordable Care Act, whether it was right or wrong, you don't take a stance on whether it was right or wrong. You take a stance on whether it's good for the people. You put realistic solutions ahead of political bickering and scoring political points. Plus, we'll push ahead on your own to vocalize and put forth efficient, effective solutions. You value and practice nonpartisanship while at the same time stick to the principles of maximizing choice, responsibility, and public good. You work to find common ground to grow from and work with. You hold strong convictions and will always take a firm but reasonable stance on any issue. So, the general ideology of a centrist, you want an efficient government. You see right through the current charade of corrupt political hypocrites and grandstanding for no other reason than furthering of selfish ego and personal gain. You want fiscal responsibility and restraint. You want freedom of choice on personal issues. You want strong diplomacy and national defense. In short, you're a realist. This means you have the quality of a person who understands what is real and possible in a particular situation and is able to deal with problems in an effective and practical way. Okay? You're a realist. You're a pragmatist, meaning you enjoy dealing with things sensibly and realistically in a way that is based on practical rather than theoretical considerations. And you work towards cooperation and the end result being progress forward for yourself, for America, for your community, for your family. Progress. So, once again, our president has done it. Let's see what they do with this nomination. Okay, anybody out there want to talk to me, want to give me their input on this particular subject or what's going on in the world? Are you going to leave me out here talking to my screen and all the pretty colors online? Or should we go ahead and talk about the fact that we have a lot of old souls out there that are chomping at the bit? You know, they've been waiting for things to happen. And if you're an old soul, then you know what I'm talking about. If you're not an old soul, then you don't know what I'm talking about. Or you may be an old soul, but don't know you're an old soul. And so you still know what I'm talking about. Okay, let me see. We got a call on the line that wants to say howdy to everyone. Hello, caller, you're on the line.
I thought you. I would like to say that Obama has done a good job, but the trickle down economics haven't reached all the way to the bottom. You know what I'm saying? Why is that? Like all the politicians get the money, and I see a lot of organizations, you know, community organizations get money for the arts and to help activists lobby for to change the laws, but it hasn't really come down to the people.
Well, first, caller, where are you calling from?
We still got projects. Huh? Oh, I'm from Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay, Providence, Rhode Island. Now, say you have to, I can hear myself kick back on the phone. So if you could just kind of take me off speaker, I guess, on the other phone. Then I'll be able
Hello,
to hear
your
question.
Hear me now?
I'll be able to hear your question better.
Okay. I was wondering about the trickle-down economics that was supposed to happen for us. I'm saying Obama has done a lot about what he can do for the country and the people, but the politicians aren't letting the trickle-down go all the way to the hoods and the poor neighborhoods. You understand what I'm saying? Like what happened in Flint, Michigan and all that. And it's happening all over the world. So I just want to say, what policies are we asking for now from the next president as far as that trickle-down economics?
Okay, all right. You know, I'm going to tell you something about trickle-down. Trickle-down started back in the era of Reagan because I remember back then they talked about down economics when he was cutting all the social programs out, okay? And that was under, I believe, Ronald Reagan. And when he cut out all the social programs, trickle-down wasn't supposed to be happening from the government. Trickle-down was supposed to be happening from within your communities. And big corporations were supposed to be doing that trickle-down stuff. So it really had not, it wasn't a government thing that was to be implemented. Now, the other thing that one must understand is that you have a president. You have a president, and you have a check and balance system. And your Republicans have been playing with this check and balance very strongly against anything that your president could possibly do. Let's say if people don't get out and vote for their congressmen, their senators, then what you're doing is you're allowing your president not to have. If you voted for a Democratic president, and you didn't get out and vote for your senators and your representatives in the elections that were not a major election, those local elections that you have, if you didn't get out and vote, then you didn't give him the support base he needed under his presidency. So this is what happened with your President Obama. He's a Democratic president, but people, after they put him into office, they did not go out and vote for him to have a Democratic Congress. So you gave him and left him with a Republican Congress. So there's not much he can do if everything he does want to do, the Congress is against it. Okay? So as far as with your next president, hopefully you get a good next president after him and people will have learned their lesson. If you want things to happen according to the reasons why you voted your president into office in the first place, you want those things to happen, then you got to get out the next year and vote for the representatives and the senators in your state that will represent and support the president that you put in there. That did not happen to Obama in both of his elections. They put him in as president, but they didn't give him the foundation he needed to stand on securely. Now, there are some things he's been able to do, but he has not been able to do everything that he said he would do because we didn't do everything he needed for us to do after we put him into office. Okay?
Yes.
Thank you, Paula.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Everyone, how's it going out there? I hope my caller. Oh, okay. I was wondering what happened to my caller. Okay, I see you back. Thank you for coming back. Anyone else out there want to talk about this particular topic before we move on to the old souls? No? Okay. Excuse me. Old souls. There's a lady named Maya DeLion who once said, "Over time, I have learned that my old soul sees a part of itself in every person it meets. It has the ability to see through others' eyes. With this lesson, I have achieved greater humility, compassion, and kindness towards all mankind." Now, it takes love and compassion. Wherever you see ugly, you know that that's not an energy that's going to survive very long. If you see the ugly coming out of yourself, that's not an energy that's considered divine. There are ways to get our points across, and there are ways to get things done without us being ugly. Now, here are 11 things old souls do differently than everyday folk. And if you're an old soul, you will recognize yourself in this. And you do not have to be old to be an old soul. I have a couple of grandchildren that are old souls, and they're not even in their teenage years yet. You just get a sense that they've been here before. They're wise. An old soul walks through life observing and absorbing every experience, encounter, and lesson. They know how to live in the now. They appreciate the spirit and the beauty of all that surrounds them. I have an 8-year-old grandson, and when I pick him up, I love watching him in the back seat while I'm driving. I look in my rearview mirror, and he's observing the scenery all around him. I love watching this. While I'm driving, that's all he's doing is looking at the sky and the trees and the hills and, you know, the thing. And that's what he does. He loves doing that while I'm driving. So they appreciate the spirit and the beauty of all that surrounds them. An old soul lives in a state of gratitude that they have the ability to see things differently, to see things beyond what most people see. While often a blessing, it is sometimes a curse, and it's one that they are willing to bear, knowing it is serving them and those that come in contact with them in the best way. So, let's go back to that. An old soul lives in a state of gratitude that they have the ability to see things differently, to see things beyond what most people see. And that's often a curse to them sometimes, because there are times when an old soul wants to snatch you and grab you before you step out there. But you know what? You either want to dismiss the old soul, want to fight them, but sometimes they just got to let you go. Sometimes you just got to let you go because that's the best way for you to learn. But they do not like seeing all of these things. Old souls speak a different language, okay? That's the first thing. Words have the ability to take on different meanings based on one's experiences. Everything in our lives shapes who we are and how we communicate. Negative experiences can shape the meaning of certain words, which becomes a limitation and can keep us stuck. An old soul understands that this perception exists, but does not put those same limitations on themselves. And because they do not allow their experiences to dictate their thoughts and actions, they are often speaking a different language than those around them. Old souls create their own path. Old souls are not interested in pursuing the typical paths to success. In fact, they define success completely differently than most because they are not caught up in society's definition of success. They often chart their own path to a heightened sense of self-discovery and higher truth. Old souls often find themselves traveling this path alone, and they're completely comfortable and even prefer it. You know, it took me a long time to prefer traveling my own path, my own way, and not get caught up. People want to criticize, why aren't you doing it this way? Why aren't you doing it that way? Well, you know, that's not the way I was seeing it had to be done. And so I just followed my own drummer. And old souls tend to do that. Okay, old souls are lifelong learners. Nothing feeds an old soul's spirit like learning. And they know that taking in new knowledge frequently is their calling. They feel it's their responsibility to learn and share the wisdom they've gained with the rest of the world, which they feel is moving away from connectedness and compassion. They believe it to be their responsibility to share the lessons, that will reverse this trend. Now, your old souls are contemplative. Contemplation is the cornerstone of an old soul's day. Much of their time is spent contemplating what is learned, observed, and experienced, putting it into perspective and absorbing these lessons. Old souls, they believe everything has meaning, and they are on a constant quest to find it. Old souls have only a few close friends, and that's a fact. Because of their serious and introspective nature, an old soul can seem intense. They don't waste their energy on gathering friends. Instead, they cultivate a social network that is supportive and understands their true nature and relationship with learning life's lessons. Okay, your old souls are overwhelmed by possibility. Old souls know everything has meaning, and because of this, they want to learn constantly. They see an adventure in all that they do and have a never-ending list of things they want to experience. Nothing is off limits to an old soul because they know there's much value in new experiences and the possibilities are overwhelming. They would take it all on if they could, but instead they must choose their next adventures. And they can be challenging. All souls belong everywhere and nowhere. An old soul is adaptable to most situations, but even so, often finds themselves as an outsider. They get along with everyone and yet don't do well with small talk. They are often welcome because of their insights, but those interests, when others do not display the same higher level that, I'm sorry, but lose interest when those, when, but lose interest when others do not display the same higher level thought processes. They love a good debate, but don't do well when people have a hard time seeing their point of view. In the end, an old soul belongs everywhere and at the same time feels like they don't belong anywhere. Old souls think bigger. An old soul thinks beyond the first level thinking that many of us use in our daily basis. It's like they are in a constant game of chess, thinking through every possibility of their opponent's moves, and not just the next move, but several moves into the game. It's this kind of higher level thinking in life that makes it interesting. You know how you get to where you got to have not only, well, if A doesn't work out, I got to have B, C, D, E, and F. Well, also got to have all those variables so that if this doesn't work out, well, we're going to see what would happen if this worked out. So they can basically kind of tell you, you know, these are the ways that things can work out. If you try this, and that doesn't work, then go ahead and do this. Also feel deeply, very deeply. And also has a strong connection to the plights of the world, and they feel the suffering more than most. Of course, they also feel the love and compassion, but it's the haunting of the world's suffering that drives how they live and the actions they take. They feel it's their duty to do what they can in service and spread the message of hope. Old souls have an arduous task. Old souls connect to ancient traditions. Old souls do not attach themselves to one religion. Instead, they seek to understand and practice ancient traditions from a variety of cultures. They believe these traditions are a very component of living and a meaning. They also believe that these traditions are a key component to living a meaningful and happier life. Now, that does not mean that an old soul does not have a religion. A lot of your old souls have a religion because they like to have that community aspect of life, that community aspect and that connectedness to a higher power in a community setting. So an old soul can have a religion, but an old soul will most likely be accepting to those in other religions, allowing other people to be who they are and who they desire to be without trying to push their particular religious belief on any one person. Because an old soul recognizes that we're all one. We're all one, and we're all headed in the same direction. We just got a different route that we're taking to get there. Old souls know this, even though they have the route that they have selected for them to get there. They don't disavow the fact that your route is the route that you want to take to get to the same place. Old souls seek the truth at all costs. While they understand the truth can hurt at times, they know without a doubt that they must seek it to continue living optimally. Living in their truth means understanding and accepting the truth as it appears. It doesn't discourage them. It is simply information they use to make the best choices moving forward. Many of us have bits and pieces of an old soul in us. However, we probably don't cultivate the sense of learning and higher level thinking enough to be considered a true old soul. When you come in contact with an old soul, soak up what they have to say. It is wisdom you can put into practice to help you live better. So, that's the old soul's thinking. There are a whole lot of old souls online today. You know what we haven't done in a long time? We haven't pulled an animal medicine card. And I think it would be nice for us to do that. How many of you out there want to hear an animal medicine card? If you do, press 1. If I don't see anybody press 1, then I'm not going to do an animal medicine card. Okay, no animal medicine cards for you. How about, okay, we see a caller online that wants an animal medicine card. And I'm going to pull a card for that. Oh, I got a couple of callers that want an animal medicine card. This is your animal medicine card, folks. Let me get precious little animals. I love them. I miss them. Okay, take some deep breaths. In and out. In and out. Focus. Concentrate. And I'm going to select a card. Okay, who we got? Wow. Wow. Funny, we're talking about powering it up, and who pops up out of the animal medicine cards but a horse? The horse is symbolic of power. You know, it says here, humanity made a great leap forward when horse was domesticated, a discovery akin to that of fire. There's a story that goes, there's a story about Dreamwalker. Wait a minute. Let's back up a little bit. Horse was the first animal medicine of civilization. Humanity owes an incalculable debt to horse and to the new medicine it brought. Let's talk about horsepower. Dreamwalker, a medicine man, was walking across the plains to ask and visit the Arapaho Nation. He carried with him his pipe, the feather tied into his long hair, pointed to the ground, marking him as a man of peace. Over the rise of a hill, Dreamwalker saw a herd of wild mustangs running toward him. Black Stallion approached him and asked if he was seeking an answer on his journey. Black Stallion said, "I am from the void where answer lives, right on my back, and know the power of entering the darkness and finding the light." Dreamwalker thanked Black Stallion and agreed to visit him when his medicine was needed in the dream time. Yellow Stallion approached Dreamwalker next and offered to take him to the east, where the illumination lives. Dreamwalker could share the answers he found there to teach and illuminate others. Once again, Dreamwalker thanked Yellow Stallion and said he would visit these gifts of power on his journey. Then Red Stallion approached, rearing playfully. He told Dreamwalker of the joys of balancing work and heavy medicine with the joy, with the joyful experiences of play. He reminded Dreamwalker that he could better hold the attention of those he taught when humor was integrated with the lesson. Dreamwalker thanked him and promised to remember the gift of joy. Dreamwalker was nearing his destination. The Arapaho Nation was close at hand. White Stallion came to the front of the herd. Dreamwalker mounted White Stallion's back. White Stallion was the message carrier for all of the other horses and represents wisdom and power. This magnificent horse was the embodiment of the balanced medicine shield. No abuse of power will ever lead to wisdom, said White Stallion. You, Dreamwalker, have made this journey to heal a brother in need, to share the sacred pipe, to heal the Mother Earth. You have the knowledge through humility that you are an instrument of Great Spirit. As I carry you upon my back, you carry the needs of the people on yours. In wisdom, you understand that power is not given lightly, but awarded to those who are willing to carry responsibility in a balanced manner. Dreamwalker, the shaman, had been healed by the visit of the wild horses and knew that his purpose in coming to the Arapaho was to share those gifts with them. In understanding the power of horse, you may see how to strive for a balanced medicine shield. True power is wisdom found in remembering your total journey. Wisdom comes from remembering pathways you have walked in another person's moccasins. Compassion, caring, teaching, loving, and sharing your gifts, talents, and abilities are the gateways to your power. Sounds good. Well, as we come to a close, we see that the power of horse wraps up this whole session for today. We talked about a powerful president. We talked about the power he has or does not have based upon the Congress that we have allowed him to have. We talked about the power of balancing of a centristic Supreme Court justice nomination. We talked about the power of the end of the month and how we're going to fire it up and power it up. And so that was amazing that horse was our animal medicine card. Now, I got this out of the medicine card book that was that's the authors are Jamie Sams and David Carson. And as you can see, I'm beginning to lose my voice again. So with that, I want to say I had a wonderful evening. Thank you for being there. And may all of you stay blessed. And may you have a wonderful 2 weeks. And I'll see you again first Sunday in April. And that will be April 3rd. Stay good. Stay wonderful. This is Duchess signing out. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much for being here with me. I enjoy sharing this time with you, and now we must go. See you later. Thank you. Thank you.